Stay tuned for a special edition of the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast.
The general partner in the limited partnership who represented the ownership was also the owner of the management company that the broker was trying to have us go with. So there was kind of a conflict there.
When reading through your paperwork, that this company was also helping you with the due diligence.
Yes, they were helping
us. That's what creates the big conflict.
We decided we would interview other property management companies, and we went with someone else, which really, really created some hurt feelings on the behalf of the seller. They got pretty upset about that. And the ownership turned off the electricity in the common areas.
Do you think that was an oversight?
It was definitely on purpose, because we were told that the seller refused to turn the electricity in the common areas back on. So the tenants were using flashlights to get to their units, and the pool pumps were not on. The washers and dryers wouldn't turn on in the laundry areas.
Welcome to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where we dissect the deal before your eyes and ears so you can discover the strategies and tactics that got each deal to the finish line. Strategies and tactics that you can put in your own toolbox to get you to the closing table. From sourcing the deal, raising, due diligence to the property takeover, Multifamily Deal Lab shows how you too can get the deal done. And now here's your host, David Lindahl.
Everybody, welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. I'm your host, Dave Lindahl.
Today, I have some special guests with me. I have Laird and Sherry Hatch and Lynn Harding with us. And they did a deal in, I believe it was Wisconsin. So, was it Wisconsin?
Mississippi.
Wisconsin Avenue.
Oh, Mississippi.
Wisconsin Avenue, Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Oh, there it is, Wisconsin Avenue. Okay, good. So the property was built in 1986. It was purchased for $5.3 million with over $2 million raise. And was this your first deal?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and it was their first deal. So we're going to talk about, you know, how they got into their very first deal. It was 80 units, their first deal. So we'll go into all of that so that you can understand it and you can do it too. But before we do, we're going to go into Mindset Minute. We'll go through the interview, and near the end, we're going to do what we call lightning round, which is one of my favorite features anyways. And for our guests, if you're not sure what lightning round is, it's basically a series of questions I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you for quick answers. They're fun questions, and it's a fun time. So we'll do that. So this week's lightning round, Mindset Minute, is I'm going to read something that I saw on the wall the other day, and I'm not going to go into any type of a rant afterwards. I'm just going to just spell it out because I thought it was so profound and true. It basically said, read this slowly. Focus on what you want. Believe in yourself. Do what excites you. Think big. Set goals. Don't hate. Do everything with love. Visualize positive outcomes. Feed your mind and body with good stuff. This is truly the recipe for life. Be grateful for what you have. Be kind. Don't compare yourself to others. Work hard. Work smart. Invest in yourself. Get your priorities straight. And never, ever, ever give up. So that's today's Mindset Minute. All right. If you go to davetoday.com, I have got a free book offer for you, and it is my iconic Multifamily Millions book. I wrote this as a sequel to Emerging Real Estate Markets, but this has been the start of many, many of our students' Multifamily Millions. So many people were inspired by this particular book and continue to be inspired by, because it's foundational information that gives you the awareness, the foresight to know that you can become a multimillionaire, and the step-by-step on how to go do it. Now, this book retails on Amazon for $23. You can have it for free. All I ask is you pay shipping and handling of $7.95. And you can also get some free bonuses when you do, and also autograph it for you. Those bonuses are, number one, the 27 ways to buy multifamily properties with no money down. There's actually 104 ways in here. You hand it to your management company. They go out and do what it says. And then in doing that, you keep your property leased up and you keep that cash flow coming in. Another bonus I have is the Deal Flow Playbook. This is a playbook of checklists for all the different things that you're going to be doing in your multifamily deals. Step by step, I learned a long time ago that if you do not follow a checklist and check things off, you miss things. And those are the things that are going to cost you money. So everything that you do in sourcing deals, underwriting deals, raising funds for your deals, taking over the properties on your deals, to the nitty gritty, the lease audit on your deals, to preparing for the exit of your deals, everything has a checklist. You get all those checklists as a bonus, and that's free. And then I mentioned I wrote the book Emerging Real Estate Markets. I also have a poster for you, and that is the Emerging Real Estate Markets poster. It gives you the four stages of the emerging markets. It gives you each particular phase, the key characteristics of those phases, and down below, it tells you what your key strategies should be for that particular phase. So you can just simply put this on your wall, and with that, you can determine what your market is, where it is in any particular phase, or if you're looking for emerging markets, which markets around the United States are actually emerging, and then from there, you can make the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the least amount of risk. And as you know, investing in multifamily properties and becoming wealthy, that wealth is created through appreciation. So that's why we are giving you the emerging market cycles as well. So multifamily millions, all the bonuses, just pay shipping and handling, and you get it now. I'm going to turn it over to our guest. Why don't you all introduce yourself and tell everybody where you're from?
I'm Sherry Hatch, and yeah, I am a member of Outlaws Capital Partners, along with my husband and our two other partners, and Cindy will introduce herself. I was an escrow officer in the title insurance business for 35 years, and those are the skills that I bring to our partnership, which is working with the attorneys, working with the title company, working on the title report and the documentation and all contracts.
Okay, excellent. Cindy, tell us about yourself. Cynthia, what do you like to be go by?
Cindy. No one calls me Cynthia, not even my mother.
Okay.
I'm married to Lynn Harding. He does have a girl's name, but he is a guy. And we've been together for like 38 years. And we are in partners with Laird and Sherry Hatch, and we are the Outlaws. My background is in accounting. And so I had my own practice for about 25 years. I focused on small business. So basically, I worked really close with the owners, helping them increase their income and identify ways to decrease their expenses. So to me, that falls right into multifamily and being able to look at properties and figure out how we can make some more money. My husband is in construction and has been for over 30 years. So he, to me, is a wonderful asset. He can look at roofs and, I don't know, all the different parts of the construction, and he gets it. So we're excited to be able to close our first deal and to be able to do it with some of our best friends.
That's awesome. So Laird, what do you have to say about all this?
So, well, it has been a great partnership, and a little background on me. I'm in business development and product management, market management, you know, that type of a business. I'm used to analyzing products and determining.
What type of products?
Medical devices.
Oh, interesting.
And so I've been doing that for a little over 40 years now. Hopefully I don't look that old, but I've been doing that for quite some time. And it's basically the same thing that we're doing here, is that you analyze a product, you take a look to see if it's going to be profitable, what you can do to make it a little bit better, or, you know, if you can reduce cost or something like that. So a lot of the skill sets transfer over, and then hopefully I'm a little bit of a creative guy. You know, I like to work on logos and stuff like that. So if you've ever seen our logo, that was one of my projects, and I like color too. So, you know, you'll usually see me with either bright shirts on or bright ties on or something like that. There you go. Yes, like Outlaws Capital Partners. So just to give you a little idea of about this friendship and relationship, we've known.
Hold on. I'm going to go there, but I don't want to go there yet.
All right.
Because I do have a question. You guys have all great backgrounds to form a partnership. I'm wondering who's the salesperson, who's the relationship developer of the group.
Cindy is probably the best one. This deal actually came through a relationship that I created.
Okay, excellent. We'll go there too. All right. Yeah. So tell me, the name of the group is Outlaws Capital Partners. Now, I remember that Bob Bowman, who now teaches the Private Money Bootcamp, which we just had the virtual one a couple of weeks ago, and which is going to be live for the first time again in September. When he first came up on stage way back in 2007, And he was talking about the first deal he did at one of our boot camps. And I said, Bob, what's the name of your company? And he said, oh, it's Radical Investments. And I was like, Radical Investments? I'm talking to myself, that's not a great name for a company. You know, and then I hear Outlaw Partners. So how did you come up with the name Outlaw Partners?
All right. We've known Lynn and Cindy for over 30 years. And we've vacationed together. We travel together. We do pretty much everything together. We had dinner with their house on Sunday evening.
Okay, hold on for one second. I want to stop you right there too. Because one of the best ways to ruin a great relationship is to get into a partnership, right?
It's worse than that. A little over 9 years ago, we found out that their oldest son was dating our youngest daughter. And they ended up getting married. So they've been married for 9 years now. And so when the kids got married, they each inherited a set of in-laws. When we would get together for our parties and stuff like that, we would joke about being the outlaws. And so when we started this business, there was nothing else that we could call it but the outlaws. And it goes along with kind of, you know, where we are. We're out in the West, Southwest, and you know, we're Western people and that type of stuff. So outlaws goes with this. We've been around horses our entire mm-hmm. life. Sherry and I have. Cindy is a certified firearms instructor. So there's a lot of things that we play off with this, but it's a really nice catch because people recognize the name, and you know, we'll have people say, oh, Outlaws, we've heard of you. And then, you know, oh, it's so great to put a face to a name. So it is something that is a little bit unique, but it has a great hook to it. And we play on that. We have fun with it.
Wow, that's great. That's a great story. And that's actually a great catch. I hadn't even thought about it that way. So good for you. All right. So now, before we get together, you've been friends for a long time and you decided that you're going to start investing in multifamily properties. How did that all come about?
This was Lynn and Cindy.
Okay, hold on. I've given you some face time. I want to go over to, let's go to Cindy. So Cindy, let's go over to you, and why don't you start telling this part of the story?
So our son, Tyler, the one that's not married to their daughter, he was kind of in a transition period with his career. And so he started looking online seriously for something that we, as his parents and him, we could combine and do together. We knew that we wanted to do real estate. And so he just started, I don't know, looking Facebook and just trying to figure out what we could go to, what we could learn about. And he actually registered us for RE Mentor. And so it was my son, Tyler, who said, we need to go check this out. So we did. And
so you went to a live event, and when was that?
It was in November of 2000. Was it 18?
18. I think it was 18.
2018.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we went to the 3-day, and then him and my husband did the immersion in the first part of the year. Then we got with Hatches and said, hey, we think this is a really good thing. This is going to work. Look at all of our skill set. We can really do this together. So then they went through boot camp. And then they did immersion. So, yeah.
Oh, so you all saw it. Okay. So Sherry, what were the fears that you guys had going into doing a deal?
Just what we didn't know, you know, because you never know what you don't know until you stumble on it. And we got into the contract and we got our sponsors, which are wonderful people.
What did you think in your mind pre-deal? Okay.
Pre-deal.
Yep. And there's this term called catastrophizing. All right. That's actually a therapeutic term. You know, so what did you catastrophize was going to be a worst case scenario prior to you going into a deal? Like what was going to go wrong, or what was going to happen, or what was preventing you from moving forward before you did that first deal?
Well, looking for money, actually looking for investors. That's a big scary thing. And I think that was the biggest scare, because being in that title and escrow background, I know contracts, I can read a contract, I can work with a realtor, with a broker on contracts. But I think the biggest concern for me was raising the funds.
All right, excellent. You, Laird and Cindy, you guys want to chime in? Did you guys have any other fears that people listening could relate to as they try to go into their first deal or next level deal?
I will agree with Sherry, just crossing the finish line. You know, you start it and you're like, can we finish? And I have to say, you know, that was one of our big worries, but we were able to really rely on the RA mentor community. Like, we were able to connect with people, talk with people. We had quite a few cheerleaders that, you know, cheered us on. We had people that we brought into the GP, and all of this was the community. It was right there to support us and really help us. And we had our sponsors, which we have Vanessa Alfaro and Eric Stewart. And so they also, you know, helped us and kind of guided us. A few times I had to hold my hand because I was really stressed out.
But really, you know, about what?
Just everything. Like, you know, we're just trying to figure out all the different pieces. It's a lot. The way I look at it is a big jigsaw puzzle, and you're trying to put it together, but it's floating up here. And then all of a sudden it drops and all the pieces are in place. But it's that floating when you can't really see the end, and you're just trying to make sure everything fits. And so for me, you know, being able to have sponsors that we can talk to, you know, having the RA mentor community being there for us, it made it less scary. Let's put it that way.
Were there times for the three of you that as you're going through this deal, you thought to yourself, that's what they meant when they said this at the boot camp?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because at the time, you know, you don't really understand, you're getting a lot of information, but you're not really conceptualizing it. And then all of a sudden you're in it, doing it. And then it's like, damn, that's what they meant by that.
Yes.
Well, right? I have to say private money, because we just did private money like 2 weeks ago, Sherry.
Oh, the virtual one?
Yes. Yeah. And we were on our phones, like we were participating, but we were texting each other the whole time going, oh my gosh, this makes perfect sense. So some of those things that we learned, you know, we didn't really know how to apply it until we were kind of in the middle of the minutiae. But then in private money, it was like, okay, I get this. This is what they're talking about. It makes perfect sense now. So I'm so happy we did that. I'm glad that maybe it would have been better to do it before and after, but I'm glad that we were able to do it, because everything made a lot more sense,
We also realized how blessed we were.
Yeah. That sense.
In being able to rely on the RE mentor community to help us out and to connect with our sponsors and the coaching that we received early on. All of it, we just realized how blessed we were to have that support and to be able to reach the finish line because of it.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's see, Laird, you had talked about how you created a relationship that brought this deal to the table. So can you explain that?
So I started reaching out to brokers who were in the areas that we were looking at. And we had identified several target areas around the country that we thought that we would like to have properties. And it was just kind of a random call. You know, almost a year and a half ago that, you know, I got this guy on the phone. He was kind of doing the business. You know, we talked about a lot of things. You know, he started bringing, you know, some deals our way and looking at them. Most of them are horrible. In fact, all of them are horrible until, you know, I finally said, hey, listen, we have to, you know, meet these types of parameters. Our investors are looking for this type of return. We want to be, you know, serious about this. And so I want to have serious deals. And so he ended up bringing his two back to back. One of them was a little older, and it was in not the greatest part of town in Mobile, Alabama. And so we passed on that one, but he said, listen, I've got this other property that is up in, you know, Vicksburg, Mississippi. Would you be willing to take a look at it? I said, yeah, let's take a look at it. But I mean, it took a year and a half to have this conversation with him and to actually get him to the point where he was, you know, bringing us something that was actually good. And it wasn't just a single conversation. I spoke to him probably every week, you know, for about a 6 month period. And, you know, that's something that we learned during the boot camp is you've got to develop these relationships so that you have that, that kind of connection with the individual.
Did you have a commonality with this particular broker?
He's a lot younger. His kids are all young, stuff like that. We do share some of the same sports and likes and stuff like that. So we can talk about certain things like that, but a lot of it was just, you know, talking about the business and what his plans were, what our plans were, and stuff like that, and finding some commonality through the business side of it.
Nice. So this was a an 80 unit property for $5.36 million. What was it on the market for?
It was on the market for, well, it changed. It started off at $5.5 million was the asking price for it. The initial underwriting, I was at 5.025 based upon the current performance of the property. And that was the initial LOI that we put in on the property. It was countered at 5.2. And we thought that we were going to have a deal at 5.2. But then the ownership of the company or of the business at that time was a little complex. And the general partner was the one who is trying to make the agreement, and the actual majority shareholder of the company said no. He actually wanted $6 million for the property.
Wow. So
we were like going in opposite directions. I came back and we pushed back at that point and said, hey, listen, you know, the numbers are the numbers, and that's basically what we're going after. And this was before we ever looked at the property or anything like that. We basically did the analysis, looked at the rent roll, looked at all the numbers to make sure that it was going to make sense.
So if you were if your numbers came in at, I think 5.0 something, you said?
5.025, yeah.
How'd you get up to 5.3 and still make the deal work?
So as we started to look at the, there was a length of time in this. It actually took us 11 months to get this property under contract. And okay. Part of it is that our initial LOI went in right at the time that COVID hit really hard. And so we pushed back, they held back because we weren't sure how COVID was going to impact the property. And as we watched it over the months, COVID was a non-issue for them. Their occupancy during the COVID situation was 98%. Their collectibles were 100%. They didn't have anybody who defaulted. They had no claims against COVID. So as the time went along, the deal got better because they were proving that they were going to be strong, that they were going to not have any issues associated with COVID. They actually were increasing their rents during that time. So as the rents were increasing, it increased the NOI and was allowed us to come in at a higher price.
All right, that makes sense. Good. So this was built in the 80s. So is this a B minus or a B or a C plus property?
We think of it as a B plus property. It's very clean, very nice. Yeah, it's it has a lot of brick veneer on it, about 80% brick veneer. The roofs were actually put on it in 2019. The owner had updated those to get it ready for sale. And so there's, you know, lots of neat things about the property. It's well maintained. The maintenance guy had been there from day one, so he knew everything, and he actually was taking care of all the properties. He knew where all the dogs were. He knew where all the issues were. He knew if you drove in on the property. He was that observant that he could find a new car as it drove in on the property. Wow. In fact, he called Eric Stewart out on that. Eric happened to be talking to him and said, yeah, I'm from Illinois. He says, yeah, you're the black truck, aren't you? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's me. So
interesting. So is this it's a B plus in a B plus area as well?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back to Sherry. Sherry, what was the, when you were doing your due diligence, was there any surprises?
The due diligence went well. I worked on the contract. Cindy worked on the leases. And we tore into that, Laird and Lynn.
What was I'm interested because it was a safe, it made it through COVID, no problem. What's your tenant profile? What do they do for a living? What type
really
of jobs
good.
Did they have?
Vicksburg is the home of the Army Corps of Engineers, their largest installment. And they have an offshoot of that, Army Corps of Engineers, that is a large employer in the area. There's a Walmart distribution center there. There is Merit Health is there. We have school teachers. We have retired people. We have the Army Corps of Engineers. We have a big presence there. Not a huge
Not a lot of service-oriented people?
No.
Service jobs. That seems to be the biggest risk when COVID came around was that particular class. Okay, so surprises. So was there a big surprise? Any surprise during the due diligence process?
There was.
Lynn looks like she, I mean, Cindy looks like she's jumping out of her chair, wants to answer this one. Do you want to answer this one?
She can answer it. Go
ahead.
Well, for me, because I'm the accountant part of it, so I'm like digging through the P&Ls as well as the leases, and I'm finding that there's someone on payroll that is not on payroll, you know? So like it was the numbers. I was like, okay, they have somebody's getting a paycheck. I don't know who it is, but
who was it?
I don't know.
You still don't know?
Yeah, we're not paying them, but I could account for the manager and the maintenance, like for salaries, but there was another salary in there. So
did you ask?
Oh, yeah. And they're just like, yeah, that don't worry about that. You'll just have the manager and the maintenance. I'm like, okay. Oh, so for me, it was just like, you know, digging and finding all these things that are like, so exactly what is this expense for? So that was my surprise. Sherry can
That's interesting. That's a really interesting one. All right. So back to Sherry. So was there a big surprise for you?
Well, yes. We found out that the general partner in the limited partnership who represented the ownership was also the owner of the management company that the broker was trying to have us go with. And so there was kind of a conflict there. And they were
And I believe when reading through your paperwork that this company was also helping you with the due diligence.
Yes, they were helping
That's what creates the big conflict.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So what happened when you found that out?
Well, we decided we would interview other property management companies. We ended up interviewing three property management companies, and we went with someone else, which really, really created some hurt feelings on the behalf of the seller. They got pretty upset about that and actually pushed back hard at the closing with some of the things that they did with the property. So
they pushed back hard?
Yes.
In what sense?
Well, we were scheduled to close the property on the 10th of March, and because of financing and some other things, we had to ask for an extension for a period of time. We extended all the way to the 30th of March. Well, the ownership turned off the electricity in the common areas, not the individual apartments, on the 9th of March.
So do you think that was an oversight, or do you think they did it on purpose?
No. It was definitely on purpose, because we were told that the seller refused to turn the electricity in the common areas back on. And they so the tenants were using flashlights to get to their units. And the pool was not, lights in the pool pumps were not on. The washers and dryers wouldn't turn on in the laundry area.
How did you resolve that?
Well, we were prepared to go to Home Depot and ask them to bring in some lighting generators.
Of putting it in lieu of putting it in your name prior to closing, you decided you'd go with generators?
Our property management showed up to do the transition the day before closing. They went in and put down deposits and did everything that they could. And the electricity company was telling them that they wouldn't be able to get the electricity on until Monday. We were closing on Friday. So we were planning on putting in generator units to generate lights over the weekend.
Did you say that it didn't close until the 30th?
Didn't close. It closed on the 26th.
On the 20th. So was there 16 days without power on the property?
Without power on the common areas, not the units, but the common areas.
Did you
lose
any tenants?
When we closed, we found out that there were four units that we knew of that were going to be vacant. One was the property management on-site manager. There were three vacancies that we knew about. Well, when we closed, we found out there were four notices to vacate that we weren't aware of.
That they never informed us of.
So we don't know whether that was because of the lighting issue, the electrical issue, or what the issue was on those, but we are now 100% leased. So our management company is doing excellent.
Yeah, all right, Laird. She did all the units in 20 days. Like our new on-site manager was able to get.
She leased up all the vacant units in 20 days?
Oh, great. Yes.
20 days. That's awesome. That's awesome. Laird, tell us about the value add in this property. Where's the upside?
This is more of a momentum type of a play, but for the value adds, we are doing some amenity upgrades. We've been able to increase our rents just based on the market.
How much?
We actually added $40 per unit. Plus, awesome. We've been able to get rubs for water. We've been able to collect for trash and for pests, which we weren't getting before. So. Plus, we're also getting an additional $10 for a ground floor apartment, which we were not getting before. So, you know, all in all, it's been pretty good from a value play, even though we went into this thinking it was going to be a momentum play.
How much going in, how much was your projected for, because you just closed this deal not too long ago. How much was your projected first year cash on cash return
for the deal and for the investors?
First year cash on cash return, 7.98 was our projected.
And with all those, how much equity did you create already just by the ability to raise those rents, add onto those amenities, and that first floor increase, ground floor increase?
We're still doing that.
Yeah, I would say I know that as far as the rent increase, we've increased at 13%. Right. I'm not sure what number that's going to end up being after the full year, but right now where we stand, we've increased 13%.
We're still discussing with the property management. We had a meeting with them this morning, and our leasing agent has a waiting list and has been leasing them up so quickly that we haven't been able to do a sample apartment with upgrades, with premium upgrades yet, to see what the market will bear.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to do the premium upgrades, because I mean, it would be good to do and get more. But right now, I don't think you're at market with that waiting list. You need to push market.
We're doing
That's great. That's really good news. So the deal's going smoothly. Everything going in went well. What's your life like now after you closed the deal? How do you feel about, you know, just how do you feel in general?
I exhale a sigh of relief and inhale excitement. And so every day I'm like talking to brokers, we want the next deal. Like, we're ready to go. My big hairy goal for 2021, I'm just going to put it out there in Facebook land, is I would like 800 units. We have 80.
800? So. Did you say 800 units?
Yes, I did.
Great. I love that goal.
So that's the goal for 2021. So yeah, we're ready. Bring it.
All right.
We're ready.
Listen to all that confidence and remember what we talked about, all that fear going in, right? And now on the backside of it, this is all the confidence. How about you, Sherry?
Yeah, really excited. We are actually having our investors out to the property on the 14th of May. And we're going to be doing a tour of Vicksburg and having them for lunch.
Wasn't there a big battle there? A Civil
there
War
was.
Battle
it was
in Vicksburg?
It was the turning Civil point War. Of
it
the
was
Civil
the turning
War.
Point, yeah.
Of the Civil War, yeah. And there are huge memorials and a big park there. So we're going to be going in and looking at the economic drivers with the investors, giving them a glimpse
what a great
of
outing.
What we saw. So we're excited. Yep. We're very excited.
Great way to solidify your relationship.
Yes.
Laird, give us your take on the aftermath of closing your first deal.
Just the excitement of having it done. I mean, you know, when the paperwork was finally signed and everything was done, it was like, all right, cool. We've done this. We learned a lot from this, and it'll help us in our next deals and our next property, so that, you know, we won't have maybe as much trepidation going into it, and you know, we'll just keep moving forward.
Oh,
we
yeah,
do have one thing that I want to mention real quick. We have Cindy's Big Book of Everything.
Cindy's Big Book of Everything?
Yes.
What's that?
So one of the things that we do as a team, and Cindy is the key to this, is that anything that goes on, any activity that happens, any suggestion that is made goes down into the big book of everything. And so that way we have this learning experience that we don't lose anything as we're going forward. And this Cindy reminded me that I started this with her a couple of years ago. Since I work in the medical device industry, I deal with a lot of doctors who come to me with patentable ideas. And I always stop them. I say, have you written this down? You know, because I want to protect you. I want to protect me. I want to protect the companies that I'm working for and everything. And so I've always instructed everybody to write everything down, make all your drawings, date it, sign it, so that you know that is yours when you come for a patent. Well, Cindy was working in a business or creating a business a couple of years ago, and I gave her that suggestion. I said, you've got some patentable ideas. Make sure that you write them down, you date them, you sign them. And that becomes, you know, your journal and everything about your business. And she's carried it over into Outlaws. And that's fantastic, because it's really going to help us going forward.
That is great advice for people that are out there. I just wanted to go through two emotional experiences when you're going through a deal, and you just described both of them nicely. The first one is when you get the offer signed. That's the oh shit moment. It's like, oh my God, what have we done? And then you get the deal signed, and it's, oh yes, that's your oh yes moment, because now you've done it. You've been through the whole process. You did it. And now you have all the confidence in the world knowing that it works and I can do it again and again and again. That's awesome. All right. So we're going to go into lightning round right now. So this is going to be a little bit challenging with three of you.
but I am going to ask you, I want really short, brief answers. Okay. And I'm going to ask you questions and then I'm going to get your answers. All right. So first one, since Sherry's on board, I'm going to go with you and then I'm just going to go right around. So Sherry, what do you usually have for breakfast?
Nothing.
That's not good. Cindy?
I would like to have chocolate chip cookies, but I usually have yogurt and blueberries.
You remind me of my daughter, who demands chocolate chip cookies every morning. She's 4 and a half. Laird?
I have some type of protein bar. I start at 3:30 in the morning, so I can't make a lot of noise, and that gives me some good protein, good energy, and gets me going.
What time do you go to bed?
About 8 o'clock.
Okay, Laird, since I have you, who would you rather be best friends with, Beyonce, Rihanna, or Taylor?
Maybe Beyonce.
Sherry?
Taylor.
Cindy?
Taylor. I'm not even sure who all of them are. So.
All right. First one who knows this answer, shout it out. What's the capital of New York?
New York.
Auburn.
All right. What's your favorite holiday, Sherry?
Christmas.
Cindy?
Thanksgiving.
Laird?
Halloween.
If a dog could talk, what would he say?
Feed me.
Anybody?
What's that? Feed me.
Feed me.
Let me out.
Excellent. Okay. Have any of you ever been to Africa?
Yes.
No.
Which part?
No.
Which part, Laird? South Africa? I hear it's beautiful there.
Yeah. Cape Town.
What's the most hours you've ever watched on TV in a single day?
I'm going to say probably 8. I think we binge watched 24 with Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay.
Several years
Sherry.
Ago.
Probably 4. I binge watched a British baking show.
All right. Did you bake anything afterwards?
Much to my chagrin.
did you bake anything afterwards?
I did not.
No.
All right. Another one. Do you Instagram your food?
No, I do not.
I do not Instagram.
Okay. All three of you together. What sound does a seal make?
R.
Okay. If a spider was in your house, would you kill it or set it free?
Kill it.
That sucker's dead.
All three of you. Wow. Tough group. All right. And the last question. If Indian cows are sacred, but American cows are not, is it okay for an Indian man to eat an American hamburger?
That's a personal decision.
We have a cattle ranch, so anybody can eat beef.
There you go. All right, so that was another edition of Deal Lab. We'll see you all next week on the same channel. Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where the deals get done. If you'd like to learn more, visit davetoday.com. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.